Today's program was brought to you by Emmy Cheese, specialty cheese from Switzerland made with heart and passion. For more information, visit emmyusa.com.
Welcome to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum, and I love to talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. This is a show about people, life, and food. If you're just tuning in for the first time, all the previous episodes can be found in the archives at heritageradionetwork.org. I'm thankful for listeners like you, and I'd love it if you'd leave me a review wherever you've found this podcast. Today's theme, famous people, am I right? A few weeks ago, I was at the Charleston Wine and Food Festival, and I had the opportunity to sit down with Tiffany Thiessen. You may remember her from such hits as Saved by the Bell and Beverly Hills 90210. Well, she's now a mom, and she's still famous. She has a cookbook and a great Instagram account, and of course is a brand, but she's also a person. We sat down and talked like normal people, although Matt, our engineer here at HRN, said I sounded a little less comfortable than I usually do. I'm going to attribute that to the fact that we were in a hot tent, not in the studio, and there were lots of people around watching us, but whatever. It was nice to be reminded, because I've experienced this many times, that fame and fortune don't necessarily make you unapproachable, or hard to talk to, or aloof. While they can, lots of people I know who aren't a household name are all of those things anyway, and they're not famous. I've met rock stars and movie stars before, but never was it me interviewing them as a podcast that others would be listening to. Tiffany's an interesting case of someone who I now see as a peer. I used to love her TV show, and of course, like most hetero boys my age, had a crush on the character she played. Now we both have kids, and we cook with them, we both have cookbooks out, we both have a life. Some of hers is still in the spotlight, and people often reference her acting career, but I encourage you to think about the person, not the celebrity, the next time you meet someone famous. Imagine if for one of the most common conversations you had every day revolved around your signature, or a photograph of you for someone else, rather than who you are or what you'd like to order for dinner. She's a class act, and I hope to run into her in the future. And if she wants a selfie with me, we can take one then. Hi, I'm Harry Rosenblum, host of Feast Your Ears here on Heritage Radio, and it is my great pleasure to welcome someone who needs very little introduction.
You're
I think
sweet.
Most people walking down the street would probably recognize her. Tiffany Thiessen, who's well-known from television, from acting, now has a cookbook and had a cooking show. Thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and now you're working with Le Creuset, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm here actually having some good old fun at the Charleston Wine and Food. You know, Charleston is one of my favorite food cities.
This is my first time. So.
Is it really?
It's been awesome so far.
Wow. And what do you think so far?
It's been great. I mean, it definitely, I have to say, I don't know, maybe I'm just sensitive to it growing up in the North and having parents who were activists. Mm-hmm. I'm very sensitive to feeling like there's a lot of racial history here.
Yeah. Oh, there is. I mean, you are absolutely correct.
I mean,
correct.
We're next to a statue of John Calhoun.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Here in the park. And I feel like... it's unclear to me if people are paying attention to that.
Yeah.
But I love it. As a city, it's
well, no,
awesome.
It's funny because I brought a dear friend of mine that we worked together, and she had never been here either, and she felt the same way. She's like, you know, it's so charming, but on the other side, it's got a lot of history that it's kind of crazy not to really feel.
But I think that's good. I mean, it draws people here for a reason,
of course.
I feel like. And you meet people here, and my wife and I were talking about whether or not there's some kind of, like, you know, higher energy that mm-hmm. draws people to places mm-hmm. and that maybe, you know, the world has gotten very populated, so we're spreading out from those places. But historically, people were drawn to places.
Yeah.
Right?
My best friend lives not a couple hours outside, and so I've always had a special place for this state, so...
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I was taking a look at some of your recipes, and I have to say I really appreciate the fact that they're not, like, gimmicky, and they don't present, like, hacks, and I haven't seen, like, the Instant Pot show up.
Yeah,
I know. Right?
I mean, not that I don't own an Instant Pot,
but
I don't generally cook from it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I was at my, all of my cooking style comes from the women in my family. So it was my mom and my grandmother and my aunt, and it all came from just how they cooked. You know, I'm not a chef, and I don't claim to be.
Yeah.
I never went to culinary school. I am a home cook through and through.
Yeah.
So my recipes are very, on the easier side. They're for people like me who,
you know,
like to cook and like to entertain and family friendly and really just about cooking good meals and putting it on the table and connecting.
But they don't seem to have shortcuts either, and that's something I really appreciate. I cook a lot.
Yeah.
My wife and I have two kids
much the same as you and your husband. Ours are 9 and 5. Yours are 8 and 3.
Same distance apart.
And I watched an interview you did a few years ago. I guess Harper must have been like 6 then, saying that you give her a knife. And when I tell people that about my daughter, they
freak
like,
out a little bit, right?
A little bit. But I really, you know, I think that's great. So tell me about the first time you like cooked with her with a knife.
Yeah. Well, she, you know, it's funny. She's fearless. I mean, she really, my daughter is fearless. She's the girl that has no problem climbing up the highest tree and jumping off of it. Literally, you know, and I want to support that. I think especially her being a girl, like I want her to be that kind of person. So it was no different in the kitchen. Right. As soon as she said she was ready to want to try it, I wasn't going to push her.
Yeah.
But as soon as she started vocalizing that she wanted to, you know, kind of start cooking more seriously, like mommy in the kitchen, then I was very much all about it. You know, of course, I'm very much there with her every single, I mean, I'm still with her when she uses a knife, you know, and she's actually gotten really good at it.
Has she cut herself?
My 3-year-old is already starting. He doesn't have a sharp knife. He just has a normal knife.
Yep.
But he's got the motion already. And I'm really proud of him.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, but they follow their big sisters, right? I mean, my son, same thing. Like, he wants to do everything she's doing and wants to be hanging out with her and when she's with us. So it's very similar.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. He makes guacamole pretty much on a daily basis if I have ripe avocados.
That's amazing. So, I mean, as someone who grew up in the entertainment industry from a very young age, I mean, you started when you were 8, right?
I was.
Do you, like, how do you navigate that with your children, with them? I mean, they show up on your blog, they show up on your Instagram, and it's very much a part of your persona now. Do you, having gone through it, or do you have anything that you, I guess, this isn't about advice, but like, do you think about what it's like for them to be like adjacent to your spotlight?
Yeah. I don't, just because I feel like we live a pretty normal life, you know, like it's not like I'm pushing them out there.
Of course.
It's funny. You know, my husband and I were very much, the conversation was big for us about, like, do we show them on social media?
I imagine.
And to me, I felt like that person, like, the more you don't and the more you fight it, the more they want it.
Oh, interesting.
And I always had that theory, and my husband felt the same way. So, you know, I try not to overdo it on social media, but at the same time, it's not like they don't know what my kids look like. You know?
And you guys are a family.
So it's not a huge, like, oh my gosh, they're out at the grocery store. Let's grab them. They know what they look like already, you know? So it's not a huge secret. So I feel like, you know, it kind of dies down the whole, like, you know, that kind of, like, craziness of it all. Where I know a lot of celebrities decide not to do that, and to each his own, totally, and I understand why they do it, but I sometimes think that it makes it actually harder.
Right.
You know?
Right. Do you bring them on set with you when you're
shooting? Oh, yeah. My daughter is obsessed with my TV show, Alexa and Katie, and not because of me, because of everybody else on the show. Yeah, she loves those girls so much, and she's a huge fan of the show. So, I mean, most of the time we're shooting a lot of times when they're in school, so it's usually like a tape night, or if it's during the summer, she'll come by. Yeah.
So I used to work in TV. I used to be a gaffer, and I was on the other side of the camera.
That's a hard job, man.
I mean, you guys have it hard too. I mean, it's hard all around.
Yeah, it's different, I guess. But
So my question for you, having been in it a lot longer than I was ever in that business, has the food changed? Right, the food world has changed a lot.
I know.
And so I'm curious to know if the food, like, how is the food different on set?
I think it just depends on, you know, the person you have doing craft service.
I see, yeah.
And I have to say, I'm so happy with the guy who does our craft service on our show. He's amazing. He's a total foodie like I am. So we talk food all day long. And so we're really lucky to actually have him. Past shows, I haven't been so lucky. So, you know, I think it just depends.
Yeah, our big joke was always that after lunch, there'd be a bowl of candy salad.
Yeah, pretty much.
On the table.
Yeah, that's true. Sort of that is true. That is pretty normal through most craft service. You know, you have to appeal to everybody on the crew, and most crews are like 150 to 200 people sometimes.
Right.
And everybody has a very wide range of needs.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am curious to know, there is a restaurant based on a show that you were famous for, and it is the set of the restaurant. Right. Have you been to Saved by the Max?
I have not been. I pick my restaurants solely based on how good the food is, and I heard the food is not so good, so I have not placed myself there, no.
Got it. So I was thinking about this before. Are there any other TV sets, either shows that you've been on or shows that you watch, that you think might make a cool restaurant?
Might make a cool, interesting. That's hard. I mean, It's funny. You would think that I would watch TV because I'm in the TV world, but I actually don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, it's hard.
And the
with
TV
kids,
that I do watch is very more documentary, or I've got, right, you know, like Chef's Table on, or you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like
right.
It's that kind of TV for me.
Yeah.
So that's a hard question. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'd be up for a friend's coffee shop, you know,
yeah,
if it sells really good coffee. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say.
I was thinking.
Like a deli,
I was thinking,
with Seinfeld. Yeah, it's like that, too. You know?
I was thinking like the Brady Bunch kitchen for like an omakase.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would definitely feel like home.
Right?
I did watch that show when I was little.
Exactly. I mean,
yep.
That's what I was sort of
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I understand.
Thinking
I like
about
it.
That. You know, so we're in Charleston, and you've been
yep.
here before. Have you ever seen
Many
Bill
times.
Murray?
Here?
Yeah.
No,
he apparently has a house here and stuff.
Oh, really?
And so, I had been hoping that I might run into him.
Oh, I will let him know that you're looking for
Please
him
do.
The next time I see him.
So that's sort of a segue to a question. So I was sitting here and outside the studio, lots of people obviously come up to you wherever you
yeah.
go and ask for a photograph. Is there anyone that you would stop on the street and ask to take
oh
a picture
Oh, my gosh.
With?
It's funny. A lot of people think like, oh, what actors, you know, and not that I don't geek out you
yeah.
know, to a certain degree for certain actors, but I geek out more for chefs.
Yeah.
And I geek out probably more for musicians than anything.
Sure.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think because it is different than what I'm used to seeing every day.
Right.
So, or I shouldn't say that. I mean, I'm definitely in the food world now, but chefs, I guess I'm so enamored by amazing chefs that
yeah.
I geek out a lot
yeah.
with that.
Today's program was brought to you by Emmy Cheese, specialty cheese from Switzerland made with heart and passion. Since the early 1900s, Emmy has been a passionate supporter of farmers, cheesemakers, and family tradition. They believe in sustainable agriculture and respect for the people, land, and animals that make their business possible. Remaining dedicated to tradition, they strive to lead the industry in innovation, ensuring they bring you only the highest quality, best-tasting cheese from Switzerland. Emmy is best known for importing more than 80% of Swiss Gruyere into the United States, but that's not to overshadow their other specialty cheeses, including Kotbalk cave-aged cheeses, Appenzeller, Tête de Moine, and traditional Emmentaler. For more information, visit emmyusa.com.
So let's talk about your book, Pull Up
yeah.
a Chair.
Yeah.
You know, I love that, like I said before, I love that your recipes are coming from a place where you are cooking them for your family.
Very much.
In our house, it's very important. We try to sit down and eat dinner as a family.
Same.
Every single night.
That's how I grew up.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
It was at least 6 days a week,
yep.
you know, and there was two reasons. One time, my dad, you know, was working two jobs most of the time. So it was the one time that we could actually see my dad because he always left before we, you know, we got up from school. And, you know, it was our way of connecting and talking about the day and as a family, truly. And
yeah.
we also didn't have a lot of money. So, like, going out to eat was not something we did a lot,
yeah.
you know? It was maybe, you know, once or twice a month. So it was home-cooked meals, like, all the time.
Yeah. I mean, money or not, I think it's important. People need to sort of make a choice of, like, this
oh,
is important,
completely
right?
Completely
agree
like, with you.
And it is the time that I get to see my kids. And I also know that as they get older,
yeah.
right? I mean, I remember my life
yeah.
in high school.
Yeah.
I was never home for dinner.
Yeah.
I, you know, I was always doing some activity.
Yeah, I know.
And
I keep
so I
hearing
spend time
that
with
once the
now.
Kids are getting older, they're going to stop doing that. I'm like, no, they're not. I'm going to strap them down to their chair.
So, and your television show, or your television show, that's a dumb thing to say.
No.
You have many television shows.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Dinner at Tiffany's.
Yes.
Was really based around the idea of throwing a dinner party for
Absolutely.
People who you knew.
Yes.
Do you throw a lot of dinner parties
I do.
At home?
I do. It's one of my favorite things to do. I think sometimes because we do spend so much time with our family and it really is the priority, of course, that I do love to still connect with people that I love being around and having adult time. And I think that is always a good balance to always try to have a little bit of that. So I'm being that I've, you know, been in this business for a long time. I've met some amazing people that I've had, you know, the opportunity to stay friendly with and stay close with. And, you know, when you're working in TV, like you work with them like every day, long hours.
Yeah.
So you're super close to these people.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun. I always try to have a game night or a nice dinner party with, you know, with the people that I love. So
yeah, the people I used to work with in TV, we used to half joke that it was like being at war with people.
Yeah.
I mean, you spend all of this and you get super close
it's
in
true.
A way that's like,
oh no,
sort of
it's like you get real close. It's true. It's like your second family, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now your husband,
yes.
does he cook?
He does not. but he does great dishes. yeah, he does great dishes. I still need
really
to teach him a little bit better on how to actually clean my Le Creuset pots. He needs a little work on that, and we're going to work on that. But he's actually really great about
nice,
that. Yeah.
Nice. So Le Creuset, great cookware. I used to be in the cookware retail business, and so
you've
we
just
sold
done everything,
lots.
Haven't you?
I mean,
haven't you done?
I have not flown an airplane.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
Haven't
all
been
right.
to space.
Okay. Got it. All right.
So yeah, a few
that's
things.
That's pretty cool. A couple.
Sell lots of Le Creuset. Great yeah. quality. Do you have a specific colorway that is your?
Well,
like,
I do have
color?
A ton of the matte cotton, just because it goes well. I've always said that I've liked kitchens that are very neutral, because I feel like the food is the color and my, you know, but I'm really obsessed with the new fig. And so I do have a couple of those, and it's looking real good in my kitchen. So
what size do you use most often?
Oh my gosh. I'm a braiser girl. We use a lot of we do the braiser, cause I do all my pastas in there and stuff too. And then I'm a stock pot kind of girl. Yeah,
three quart. We have a cobalt, three quart Dutch
oven. Oh, I have the cobalt too.
That's our
number
one.
Anytime I do Mexican food, I use the cobalt. Yeah, I love that one. Yeah.
We once saved Christmas with Le Creuset when we first opened our store. My wife and I.
Yeah.
We had a customer come in like 3 days before Christmas and wanted two matching pots.
Oh.
Two cobalt, five and a half quart.
Yeah.
Dutch ovens, and we only had one. And Le Creuset managed to get it to us, and it showed up on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock. And on our way out of town to see our family, we dropped it off.
See, they're just making memories, man. They're just making it.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Exactly. I mean, that, you know, and Le Creuset does that a lot.
That's so cool.
Anything new food and cooking wise?
Oh my
works?
Gosh. Yeah. I'm actually already starting to wrap my head around ideas for the second book, which is crazy to me, because doing a book is like birthing a child with four hard corners.
Oh God, it is really
holy
hard.
Crap. Ola. Can I say
I
that on a podcast? I think I can.
You can.
But it was also extremely rewarding. So, so we're talking book number two, which
awesome.
Is nuts. Yeah.
That's great.
And then, I have some pre-development stuff that I'm for another food show. So,
wow.
But I can't talk about it totally.
That's fine.
But
next
it's coming.
Time, next time I interview
coming.
You, we can talk about that instead.
Yeah.
What about travel? Like when you come here, like are your kids with you in Charleston?
They're
this
not
weekend?
Actually, because there's wine here and they don't allow children here. So it would have been kind of a tease to be like, hey, I'm going to leave you all day. You go hang out. So it was better. And they're in school right now. So daddy's taking one for the team. Right. He's home with the kids. I go home tomorrow. So
And I mean, you do travel a lot.
I do.
Right. When you're traveling, do you have like specific restaurants that you go back to, or do you like to eat at new places you've never been when you go to a new city?
For sure. I'm definitely a person who likes to return to the places that she loves, and I've done that a lot here, but I've also had quite a few new ones this time around, and I'm always on Eater or whatever looking for the best places, or just asking chef friends.
Where in Charleston, like, what do you like here?
Melfi's was amazing. That was a new one for me. Chow Bao, which I had not done last time it was closed when I was here, so I was really sad and upset.
That was my first time we got off the plane.
And literally I was like, I told everybody I was with, I was like, we are not going to miss it this time. And it did not disappoint. It was unbelievable. Memorable for sure.
And what about in the future? Like, would you ever want to take your kids and live somewhere else?
Oh God, we talk about it all the time. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Sure.
But you know, we love Los Angeles. My husband's from Houston.
Okay.
I grew up in Long Beach. So that's my world. My family's still there. But we talk about we have dreams of farm and all that kind of stuff and Pacific Northwest. And so we just kind of try to build a little bit of that in our 1 acre that we have in Los Angeles. We got chickens. I literally just saw hens running around downtown. And I literally posted it and said, hey, husband, hey, can you look at those? Let's see if we can add those to our flock. And he already looked into it. So I was
apparently
like,
their eggs are incredibly hard, the shells.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the shells are apparently much harder than chickens. And they have a larger yolk to white ratio.
And
I have friends
do you
that
know
have them.
That, is there any taste difference? I mean, there's got
to
be.
I don't remember there being much taste difference, but I just remember them being hard to open when I visited friends that kept guinea hens.
That's super interesting. Huh. Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah. I would love to have chickens.
I know. Chickens are
New York
we have
City's
seven.
A little tough.
Yeah, New York City's hard. Even though I've seen Brooklyn people do it,
they do.
I mean, they do it. But we have seven, and it's been really super fun to have with the kids. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this has been really, really fun.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm really,
me.
You know, yeah, happy to
pleasure.
Sit down with you.
Same,
and it's
same.
Been great. How long are you in town?
I literally leave tomorrow. I've been here since Wednesday.
Oh, so. Since Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
Doing a lot.
Yeah.
Of...
I cannot eat anymore. I need to go home.
I feel like, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like when
my
I'm on the
My jeans don't fit anymore. I have to go home. I need to pull kale from my
right.
from my garden. I can't take any more carbs.
But that's exactly it, right? When,
yeah.
when you're traveling, I was in Chicago before this, and I like finally like after that, I was just like, I just want vegetables.
Yes.
I just like I
oh,
want
yeah.
like I feel like there's not enough.
Yeah.
vegetables yeah. served in restaurants, and I guess it's because people don't find them exciting or whatever, but I love vegetables.
I don't know.
I think
I feel like California very much has a lot of that.
Sure.
So because we have those vegetables year round usually.
That's a good point.
So, and we grow a lot of stuff at our house, which is so much fun, and that's been really fun with the kids too. So but yeah, I definitely, not that I haven't had vegetables here and some lettuce, but it's definitely been minimal compared to the other meat and
yeah.
and carbs and bread and all this kind of stuff that I was having before. So right. I got to get home.
Well, it sounds like we do have to taste that burger, though.
So, I'm not leaving until I taste
just,
that burger.
Just making
because,
sure.
Because my friend from Edmunds Oast told me it's one of the best burgers. So I'm listening to him and doing it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tiffany, for sitting down and talking
thank
with me.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Feast Your Ears today. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Tiffany Thiessen from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival. You can find Feast Your Ears as well as all of our other great shows here at heritageradionetwork.org on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please take a moment to rate and review the show, and please reach out to me if you have any questions. You can reach me via email, harry@thebrooklynkitchen.com, and you can follow me on Instagram @thefoodballer. Talk to you next week.